Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Know How is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/knowhow and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Today on Know How, assistance with screens, plus your questions and our answers.
Yeah!
Welcome to Know How. This is the show where we tell you all about your Internet of Things, your IoT, your smart home, your not-so-smart home. And I am Megan Maroney.
And I am Florence Ion. And I am here with the brand new Lenovo Smart Display with Google Assistant.
It is. It is beautiful.
Display abilities.
And I am here with my two old-fashioned assistants, the Echo Show with a screen and the HomePod without a screen.
You can't squeeze me. I'm easy.
To be fair, the HomePod has a slightly different trajectory than these two other devices.
It's true.
It is, as we just noticed, a machine for bumping some tunes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bumping some jams.
Some really bass-heavy jams from the likes of some recording artists known as Fergie.
Yes, and so we're going to do a little, this just came in, surprise, so we're going to do a little bit of a comparison.
Yeah.
Flo's going to give us her review, having used it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to address some of your questions and comments that we've been getting in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And hopefully we'll have some answers. But you guys also have a lot of good answers to some of the problems we have. So we will read those, too.
It is a universal effort
to
get all to get a smart home going.
Exactly.
Strong. All right. So the Lenovo Smart Display, this is what we've got going here. As you can see, it looks very googly aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Show the back there.
Yes. So the nice thing about this is you can position it this way if you want with the speaker on the bottom.
Is it supposed to change? Like the does this?
Yeah, I think I have to go do something in the settings to rotate that. And then on the back, you'll see it is not actually. So let's see. See how it's like thin and then it kind of goes out into this little. It's like where everything is connected in here. I don't know. I like it. Nice little bamboo finish.
What's it going on there, though? It's like, are you going to hide your pills back there or something?
Yeah. Well, I will say the reason I like this folded back, I don't really know how to explain what this back is, but the reason I like it is when you put it on a bookshelf, you can just put things behind it. Like if you have a plant or something, kind of have like a plant coming out the back of it as an aesthetic. Oh, look at that. It's a nice picture of... So the thing about the Lenovo Smart Display is that you can set it with your own screensavers. It's like a Chromecast display, a Google Chromecast display. So you can set it to show all the same things a Chromecast can, which is your Google Photos, pictures, stuff off the internet. There's some experimental features, like the ability to show your Flickr and Facebook photos if you're into that sort of thing. Also, there are some ambient modes that you can customize. So when it... This is actually an ambient mode right now with the photos kind of in this little screensaver pattern. But there's a couple of others, too, if you just want a clock or perhaps some nature photos. You know, everybody loves a good nature photo. Kind of adds to the ambiance.
So the Echo Show does that, too.
Yes.
You just say, show me my photos, and it shows you your Amazon Prime photos, ideally.
Hey, show me my photos.
I couldn't find any photos of
showing your photos.
D-L-E.
Because I kept talking. Show me my photos.
Oh, look. It's my paddleboarding yesterday.
Oh. And I'm sure you could do this too, but you could say, show me my photos from last year, or show me my photos from Christmas, or show me my photos.
Hey, stop casting.
Nothing's playing right now.
Well, you were playing that. But anyway. That is another thing to know is that this works as a casting display. So if you're looking for like a common area little TV or something that can just sort of live in a bookshelf and provide a little entertainment but is not fully in everyone's face, this is great. It plays Google Play movies and TV content. It plays YouTube. It plays YouTube TV, which is live TV. It plays Hulu, Netflix, Plex. Anything that you can cast to this can be cast, which I love.
Yeah, because this one plays Vimeo. And
people watch Vimeo.
Yeah, but...
professionals watch Vimeo.
Yes, but if you want a video of something just random, you're going to be more likely to find it on...
Hey, show me videos of cats playing on YouTube.
Okay, showing cats playing videos.
Oh, cats boy, what's that going to show?
Videos.
There's a slight... Okay, so there's a slight delay, but then you can tap on what you want to see. Ooh. And it'll play it for you.
The sound is really good, I think.
Yeah. All right. Nobody needs cats batting around mouse.
Show me cat videos.
Here's what I found.
Now, where is it pulling these videos from?
Vimeo.
Okay, so it's not pulling from
YouTube. I guess this is Vimeo, Vevo, and Dailymotion. It's not pulling it from YouTube.
Okay.
They used to have YouTube, and they sold it in the commercials, the first commercials for the Echo Show.
But then Google decided they wanted to make their own display, and this is what happens in the world of competition.
Right. So nothing against Dailymotion, Vimeo, or Vevo, but it's just not as effective.
It's not the YouTube library.
Yes,
if you've got your makeup gurus that you love watching every day, you're not going to get them on the Echo Show.
Yeah. So, okay, at my house, I have a Nest Cam, and I have also an Amazon Cloud Cam.
Yes.
And I can look at both of those.
Uh-huh.
So I have them set up. Show me my driveway, Big Brother.
Okay.
And it says waiting for Nest.
Okay. Hey, show me my front door.
Okay, streaming the front door on office display.
Oh, yeah, I called this the office display because it goes in my office currently.
So we're both
It is taking a while because, again, my house is, like, whatever, got its own. So, yeah, there's my front door, and I know what's going on. Hey, stop casting.
So we both are using a Nest Cam here, but the Amazon Cloud Cam I also use, which is, as we know, not a Google product. So if I say, show me my living room, Big Brother.
Okay.
And so that's my living room. So if you had an Amazon Cloud Cam, you couldn't stream it on.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But there are other cameras, as long as they cast and have that ability. There are some security systems out there that use that ability. So as long as there's that integration. I haven't seen if you can do that with any of the Amazon products yet.
Yeah. And the Ring you can do with this, use with this.
As well, yeah.
You can
as long
use
as
Ring
you can cast
one.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Because Ring's an Amazon product now. Ring is our sponsor.
I actually don't remember if you can cast or not, but I will look into
that. But I guess the point is that if you are going to start your smart home, as we've said before, like make some choices to start with. Like either be all in Google or be all in on Amazon. And in terms of Apple, you can't really be all in on HomeKit yet. But you're not going to have a smart assistant with a screen unless you're using an iPad or an Apple TV.
It is important also to note that these things are usually good for keeping in touch with family across the country or across the world. So the Amazon Echo Show has, the Amazon inline connection
to call
drop-in
drop-in, or you can make phone calls
you can do the same. You can make phone calls through your an unknown number or your Google Voice number with the Google Assistant, and you can also use Google Duo, which I realize is still kind of picking up in traction, but there is more traction there than Google Allo. So it's a Google Duo is one of the video chat apps. So if you've got family members, I think it does Hangouts as well.
I haven't
checked. I should probably try that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hang out. I think that is that your camera? Something? Oh no, that's my family talking about. Let's see. Let's give them their privacy. Sometimes my family gets privacy.
Give them their privacy.
Okay, so how much does this cost?
That is a great question.
And this is the 10-inch or the 8-inch?
This, I believe, is the 8-inch, and then there is a much bigger 10-inch. So the 8-inch is $200, and then the 10-inch is $250, so $50 more. And really, it's just a matter of space, like how much space it's going to take up. Mm-hmm. It's also worth noting, I think, when we're talking about ecosystems, something that I was reading a lot about this morning while, you know, kind of prepping for the show was the Echo Show is really good kind of standalone standby device, whereas the Lenovo Smart Display really begs you to interact with it. Mm. It's got so much functionality on the screen. So when you have this little like home page, you've got little settings that you can swipe up, and you know, you've got like a brightness and a volume filter. You've got a physical mute button up here as well as a physical shield for the camera. So if you don't want people dropping in with Google Duo, they won't. They won't see you. They'll just see a black screen. And then you can, you know, just, there you go. Camera off. It'll let you know the camera's off. It has really nice loudspeakers, so it's a great ambient music player. You know, if you've got friends over, you kind of put it in the background. You get to see what's playing in the background. One thing I haven't been able to do with it that yours can do, though, is the lyrics functionality. Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah. Okay, so let's try a little sound test.
Yeah.
It's hard because you're listening through whatever device you're listening to at home. But, hey, play Fergalicious.
She's doing this to my Spotify account.
Fergalicious by Fergie. Playing on Spotify.
Little slow. Sounds good. Hey, stop. She stopped. Okay.
It could still hear you over that.
Yeah. Play Fergalicious.
Here's Fergalicious by Fergie.
A little faster.
Ah, yes, but now are we on the same Wi-Fi networks?
Oh, that's true. But yeah, as you can see, I have the lyrics if I want to sing along, which I do when I have a house party
or you're cleaning.
And both of them allow you to tap the screen, which is nice. And then we have.
Well, that's this just,
little girl.
I mean, again, that's in its own masterclass. Very bassy compared to these two.
Yeah. Pretty good. Okay, so the other thing that I think you can, I don't know if you've played around with this, but you can actually control your lights and stuff within the, like, dimness and brightness.
I actually have played around a little bit with it. I wonder if I can do it now. Hey, show the Hue Bloom settings. Let's see if that works.
My apologies. I don't understand.
Hey, I'll turn on the Hue Bloom.
Sure, turning the hue.
There we go. So as you can see, I can turn up the brightness from right there. And because this is a color light, I can go in and actually change the colors as I want. So
you cannot do that with the
I really love
Amazon
this.
Echo, which is so frustrating. I can say, turn off all my lights.
Your family's home. Mm-hmm. Well, it is daytime, so I guess.
Turn off all my lights. And all the lights just went off. But I can't. There's no feature where I can say
there's
dim,
no feedback,
change the color. Well, you can add feedback, but the idea I think is that you don't necessarily need the feedback because normally you would be at home.
Are you sure?
Well, right now I'd like the feedback, but if I'm at home and I want it to turn off the lights when the lights go off.
Well, what if you're not at home and your family is?
Right, like
that they
right
want to know what's going on because see on here you have a lot more visual feedback. At least. To be fair, the devices that I have been testing with it have, a lot of them have been Google-made devices. So, like, the Nest, of course, it's going to have that visual feedback on there. I'm going to try it with a couple other third-party services in the next couple of days because I am working on the review for review.com. I will be testing some of those things just to kind of see.
Yeah.
But, again, pretty much the outstanding thing to keep in mind is that the difference between Albuquerque and Go-Gurt is that one of them is actually, you know, a little more conversational and the other one is a little more practical, I would say.
But if you want to interact less with screens, then this might be the better choice for you, the Amazon Echo, because if the screen is bigger, like you said, it calls you to interact with it.
But also, I have no problem watching YouTube TV on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get live broadcasting, and, you know, if I'm in the kitchen cleaning out the dishwasher, doing boring chores, I can put on my stories, no problem. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than, you know, having a podcast on, honestly, because sometimes you want a little visual feedback.
Yeah. And the only, like I said, you can watch YouTube on the Amazon Echo Show. You can also watch, you know, Amazon Prime videos. I don't really usually do that, but... All right, ready for some questions answered?
Yeah, let's get through some questions.
Okay. The first couple questions are about HomeKit issues. That's Apple's standard.
That's a you.
Yes, that's a me. And Kevin wrote us to say, in case you missed it, Belkin announced HomeKit support via firmware, a firmware update about a week and a half ago. It supported... It's supposed to finish rolling out to everyone soon. I was just able to do it this morning. Now I can use Siri on my Apple TV, iPad, or iPhone, as well as using the Home app on the iPad and the iPhone to control them. Awesome. So Wemo was nice enough to send us some of their plugs, and I was so excited about it that I bought two from Costco for myself.
I hope you got a bulk deal.
Two for $40 on
That's
Costco.
That's not bad.
No. And Amazon, I think it's like, I think $29.
That's how I try to shop, too. Yeah. I try to shop if you can buy two at a time.
Yes,
exactly. Saves you a little
money. And if you have a Costco membership. So I haven't set them up yet, but I'm really excited because
they're super easy. Yeah. I've used them before. The app is super easy and... They just work like that. And they work on Wi-Fi, so you don't have to worry about any hub.
Exactly. And then they did send us a hub, too, the Wemo Bridge. So I don't know why we would need this.
Oh, that's for HomeKit, actually.
Oh, you need this in order to make them...
I remember talking to them about that at CES, something along the lines. Don't quote me completely on that, but know that I remember talking about it.
I don't know if a bridge is necessary. I thought that it was via firmware and you don't need a bridge, but maybe... Maybe you do. But I'm excited because then you can make anything HomeKit compatible that has a plug. Any lights or, you know, coffee makers or anything like that.
So salt lamps, you know, essential oil diffusers.
Exactly.
Coffee warmers, in my case, you know.
Bob had the best HomeKit tip for us.
Yes.
Last week I was telling you about how... I always lose the little pieces of paper that say, that have the number that you need and the little code in order to set up your HomeKit. And he said he takes all of them and puts them in a secure note in 1Password. That way, if I have to reset, I don't have to go running around finding the numbers. And that is really key, especially with lights, too, because the lights, often the numbers, even not for HomeKit, but if you need to set them up there, the numbers are on there, and then you have to unscrew the light bulb to see them. And
oh, I don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that?
Not usually.
No. Okay. Well, the HomeKit compatible ones, you have to.
I like to give Megan a little trouble because we're always having a fake rivalry. This is not real. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Megan.
So I've been setting everything up in a note, in my secure notes. Let me make sure before I show you any secret things. So if you want to make a new note, you just do that and say my HomeKit number is blah, 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 blah. And then if you want to make a secure note, just in case you don't know, you'd use this little share sheet, which is not immediately obvious, I think. And then you click lock note, and then you have a lock note, and I can lock it with my Face ID. So
wow. Mm-hmm. Look at that fancy Face ID.
Now all my HomeKit is secure.
It requires your face.
Yes. Would you like to read the next question, or do you want me to? Because the next one, it's not about HomeKit anymore.
Sure.
It's about smart things.
So this one's from David. David writes, I'm listening to you and Flo discussing hubs, and she mentioned smart things, and it's between $80 and $100. Well, when I got mine, I put it in my Amazon cart and let it sit for a week or two, checked it daily, and one day it was $49.99, and I then completed the purchase. This is a product that will routinely drop to half price for a day. You can also use Camel to keep track of it. And that is a really good tidbit. Thank you for sending that in. Because that's actually, as we were just talking about earlier, the two-for-oneer. There's a lot of deals on this stuff on Amazon, at Best Buy, I'm assuming at other retailers that carry these things. And it's kind of nice to know that you can find a hub for a lot cheaper. Definitely hold out if you can. Or wait for a sale. Wait for a holiday to go shopping. Because then these things definitely go on sale then.
So this is, if you haven't used Camel, I highly recommend it.
I've never used this before,
you
actually.
You haven't?
No.
So I just put in the URL.
I'm like the target demographic for this sort of thing.
It is great. So you put, $85 is the Amazon price. Uh-huh. And you can see when the price goes, like, look at that. Like, that was, you know, November 1st. It went way down to around.
Okay, right after Halloween.
Yes. So then I have it set to an email. Emails me whenever it goes down to 51.45. That was when I.
That's how much you would spend on.
Yes,
it.
And then you know you just click start tracking. So you just put a keyword in there. So let's say we want the Wemo smart plugs. We want to see when Amazon's going to sell them cheap. And I just put that in there.
Or you can order now.
And then of course. And then I want to pay. Let's see, $29 nothing more than that. Oh, it looks like the current price is $29. Maybe I want to pay $15 for it. And, it's never recorded. So it'll never tell you when it's going to...
Well, it's telling you we have never seen it this low, so don't place your bets.
Yeah, that's the lowest recorded price.
Yeah.
Or best price?
What about 25?
20. It'll go down to 20.
Okay.
So that's the best price.
All right.
And then, it can also notify you on Twitter. So I love this. It's totally
free. What a great tool. That's great to know. The thing about the smart home that I try to really explain to people is that it's not like going out and buying a phone and a bunch of accessories for it. It's like building your home. And when you're building your home, you're not putting all of the furniture in at one time. I mean, maybe you are, but... Eventually, you curate things in the home. You curate what it looks like. You curate how it works. And this is the same thing with the smart home, which is why this category is both so nascent and evolved at the same time.
Because
it's like all these things have been around for such a long time, but now they're being really refined for consumers like the rest of us so that they're easy to install and use. And they're also a lot more modern looking than they used to be, which is nice.
That's true. All right, well, we have a bunch of questions about Hue lights that we're going to get to. But before we do that, I want to take a minute to thank Ring, and they are our sponsor. And I love Ring. I have the Ring doorbell, and it's super simple. Like, we have covered so many things that are really complicated to set up, but the Ring is not complicated. It is very easy. And their goal, they start with a goal. That's what I say with all IoT stuff, you have to have a goal. And Ring's goal is to make neighborhoods safer. And the Ring video doorbell is how they started with that. That lets you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone or see and speak to anyone. Like, say that you are not well and you're laying in bed and you don't want to get up out of bed and you just say, like, leave it on the front door and, you know, I'll get someone to pick it up. And you can even share those video clips with neighbors just using the Ring app. So, you know, if you see that the neighbor's dog keeps running and, you know, eating your cat's food and you want to let your neighbor know that, maybe you told them and they didn't believe you, and you can say, well, here's some video. Your dog has been eating my cat's food, so do something about that. You know, one thing that I love to do is to check out Ring's Twitter feed because they always have amazing videos. And it's not always people that are robbing you. Sometimes it can be goats. But right now we're taking a look at two pickup trucks. Here, Ryan spooked the suspicious duo using the two-way talk on his floodlight cam, protecting his property and peace of mind from the safety of his own home. So that he's not even using the doorbell. He's using the floodlight cam here. So you can see that it's lit up. That is not light from the doorbell. That's light from the floodlight cam, which I have here. This is the camera, and it has lights, and you wouldn't even necessarily know that it's a camera, but it's nice. It's sturdy, and you mount this on your wall, and then when movement is seen, it starts recording, the lights go on, and you can say, hey, what are you taking from my front door? Please stop it. And then you've done something good for maybe it's not even your house. Maybe it's your neighbor's house. So let me tell you what Ring can do for you. The Ring floodlight cam, it's motion activated, like I said. It connects to your phone, high visibility floodlights, HD video, two-way audio, lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property, see and speak to visitors, even set on an alarm right from your phone. When things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what those things are. Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in home security. Thieves just can't hide with Ring. Monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit, which includes a Ring video doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams. And connect your Ring video doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. This is great for people of any age. If you have little kids, I have teenagers. It's nice to know when they come and go. My parents have it. It's nice for me to know that they're safe from intruders with that. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Save up to $150 on a Ring of Security kit at ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow. Up to $150. ring.com/knowhow. Don't forget to add the know-how, K-N-O-W-H-O-W at the end, so that they know that we sent you there. And thanks to Ring.
Real quick, before we move on to our next batch of questions, I just wanted to clarify on the HomeKit Hub. Mm-hmm. So that's required for older Wemo devices. Okay. The new Wemo Mini comes out with the HomeKit compatibility built into it. And this is a new thing that's going to be rolling out for a lot more devices.
Okay, got it.
Just so then, put some clarification out there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so Bill wrote us in about his Hue lights. He says, I've equipped my home with Hue light bulbs in my lamps around the house. One of the issues I noticed when I started down this path was the light output of the standard white bulbs. Since before converting to LED bulbs, I had 150-watt bulbs in the living room lamps, and the smaller Hue bulbs would not cut it for light output. So I put a Y adapter in the lamp and put two bulbs in each lamp. I put each in a group so they would control together. Problem solved. So I didn't even know these Y adapters existed. We have a link to one of them from Levitron. I don't know if this is the best Y adapter there is, but it costs $3. Because I've had this problem, too. Like, the lights are not bright enough for me.
Well, it's the Hue lights. There are other, like we were talking about on the Smart Light show, mm-hmm. a lot of the lights have different hues, different brightness abilities, different color spectrums. And so the Philips in particular, I think because they're supposed to be, like, home lights, they make them very soft. To kind of, mm-hmm. that's what I'm assuming anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas something like a LifeX bulb would be super bright because that's like the brightest bulb, but maybe for some people it's too bright.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great, easy, cheap solution to if you've already bought into the Hue system and you're thinking, oh, come on, this is too low for me. I want to make it brighter. Then, you know, go spend under $10 and get a couple of these and install them. I do wonder how the Wi-Fi, like how the app handles.
Yeah, he said he put them in groups. So
that makes sense.
So I would assume.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think if you tried this and it hasn't worked, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna trust Bill from Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to read Adam from Nevada right around the corner?
Yes. So Adam from Nevada, thanks for fun and informative season of Know How IoT. Here's a short clip of the new feature for Hue lights, Hue Sync. You can download the Sync app on your computer, sync it with your iTunes, and party on. You can set color and intensity for this fun new feature as well. Let's check this out.
Oh, I like it. Do you have a Hue Sync at home?
I don't have a Hue Sync.
Or Hue Sync is the app?
Well, I do not have the app. I've used other apps to do this.
Yeah.
So Hue Essentials in the Google Play Store for Android is a really good like third-party app that does this sort of thing. The name for iOS just quickly escaped me. I want to look it up really quick. But I know that there is one on there as well. You could also use an app, like if you wanted to just do fun stuff with the Philips Hue lights, and additional lights that you have in your home, even out of the Hue ecosystem, you could download an app like Yeti or Stringify to do that sort of fun stuff. I'm loading the page right now. So if you have an iPhone, download the app called iConnect Hue for Philips Hue, and it does the same thing. It has automation, individual light control, group configurations, multi-bridge support, and even Apple Watch controls. So it's good to know that if you are bringing these devices into your home, there are third-party apps in your preferred mobile store that can unlock some cool stuff.
So iConnect Hue costs $5. That's kind of the new 99 cents for apps, I think. Is it worth it?
As we say in All About Android, support your devs.
Yes,
we're very much about
drop
a cup of coffee towards someone's way. Also, Hue Disco in both the iTunes and Google Play Store is a great way to do that. And it actually has a sensitivity controller so that you can control how much the lights tune into the music that you're playing in the background.
Oh,
which is kind of fun.
That is nice.
So.
All right, here's more about the Hue lights, more questions. Rowan from Brooklyn writes, I have a set of Philips Hue bulbs which operate with their own hub. I'm using an Apple TV to control some Wyze cameras and iDevice switches. This weekend, my DSL Wi-Fi became unreliable, and I had to phone Verizon where they found a problem and eventually corrected it. The Apple TV HomeKit app didn't pick up the connection to no matter how many times I restarted the network and the Apple TV. Then I remembered to pull the plug on the Philips hub and plug it back in. Ta-da! Everything worked. So it's easy. You know, it's hard. It's like unplug and plug it back in. But now we have so many things to unplug and plug back in. It's hard to remember.
I had a problem when I first installed the Hue Bridge. I installed it upstairs and connected it directly to our modem. And my husband upstairs has his PC wired to the modem down the hall. It's very dangerous when you walk around there. So we need to definitely childproof that. But what happened was that his computer kept reading the Hue Bridge as the modem. And so he was the only one in the house not getting internet. So eventually what I did is I moved the bridge downstairs to one of the mesh Wi-Fi nodes from the Google Wi-Fi, and I hooked it up to that, and that fixed all the problems. And it's just a good note, you know, a lot of these things aren't actually as complicated as they seem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, what I've learned from this 6 weeks is that it's usually not me, it's the system. So yeah. It's like you stop thinking, like, what did I do wrong? I didn't read the directions. And it's just like, no, these things are complicated. And if you unplug it and plug it back in, maybe that's all you need to do.
I mean, there's a reason that was the big punchline on IT Crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dan from Akron, Ohio writes, I tried the Hue lights a year ago. I was not impressed. The hub would lose connection with the lights. The lights would randomly turn on all on their own. There were many occasions where I couldn't turn them off with the app. I got tired of waking up in the middle of the night with all of the lights on in my bedroom. I would too, Dale. This all happened within a few days of using them. I returned them a week after I bought them for $200. I would expect them to work. I like the idea of being able to control the lights remotely. I'm curious if they have fixed them so that they actually work when they should. I actually like the lights that don't need the hub as long as they don't have a mind of their own.
My Hue bulbs also, the one in our bedroom has a weird habit of turning on apparently after I've slept. After I've fallen asleep and my husband is still like it's turned red on him a couple times. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this, but apparently I had messed up some formula setting up on my end. So it was actually my user problem. I will say that whenever I tell people I have the Hue lights, they tend to complain that the first generation wasn't very good, and that's mm-hmm. why they gave it up. So maybe you want to give it another try. You can try it with one of the starter kits that's just the white lights. It's a lot cheaper entrance fee, so you don't have to, you know, drop over $60 mm-hmm. just to get these things in your home. Or maybe it's over $80. But also, of course, like in our smart lighting episode, we've got plenty of other options there that you can tap into. LifeX, SendGled, TP-Link, there are all sorts of other ecosystems that don't require hubs and might, you know, therefore be easier for you to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And if you have HomeKit and you have a lot of lamps, then maybe the Wemo, the mini switches.
Yeah, keep your lamps going.
Yeah. Adam from Nevada, you might remember from the fancy dance party that he had in his mm-hmm. house. I asked him, because I obviously he's gotten them working, and I asked him about his experience, and he said, I've had the Hue lights for about 2 years. I'm fully bought in on the HomeKit stuff. The Hue lights were a bit of a pain to pair, but once they did, I've been sold. I just put them in the family's cabin in Tahoe, and I had similar problems with the initial pairing there, too. I ended up having to manually pair
yep.
each light using the ID code on each bulb rather than having the Hue Bridge try to find them.
Yeah.
And at one point, I had to change the Zigbee channel, but they have been pretty good ever since. I would highly recommend getting the remote dimmer, as it makes it easier for the regular folks to use. So that's just like, instead of using an app, just the remote, that's like a remote control, right?
The remote dimmer, yeah. And I've been thinking about getting it too, actually, because I have to say, yelling out commands every time I want to adjust the lights is starting to get a little annoying.
Yeah, Jason Howell doesn't use the app on his phone. He just uses the switch like that. Like, he has Hue lights
on.
What
is that?
I know.
What is that existence?
I know. He just is like, it's just easier to do the switch.
I've just grown accustomed to using the app or using my voice, because mm-hmm. I've got the app on, you know, my Chrome OS. Where I also have the assistant, and I have mm-hmm. it on my phone and on my tablet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to read Sarah from Philly's email?
Yes!
Which I love. It was my favorite email that we got.
It was also one of my favorites, too, because I can't wait to tell you. Okay, let's read you. We'll read the answer as soon as we read the question. So Sarah from Philly wrote, I have a deep bathtub. I like to fill while having breakfast. And yes, you do have a great life, Sarah, because I used to do this when I lived in San Francisco and I had bathtub, and unfortunately, I don't have that luxury anymore. But anyway, it makes my husband nervous it will overfill. So I temporarily set up the Nest Cam to monitor on the Echo Show, and we have our eggs in peace. I advise unplugging before bathing. I would also advise unplugging before bathing, because we have heard about security breaches and things like that, and you never know where that data is going. But in all honesty, this is a great little hack. If this is, you know, just a little life hack, if you also enjoy a luxurious bath.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that is a nice bathtub. She's got jets and everything.
Yeah, that is a really nice bathtub.
No wonder she likes to. I would soak in that in the morning before work, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a good way to, you know, with your coffee in there. Yeah, so fun fact, actually, Kohler is coming out with a variety of connected, I want to say faucets, but they're not all faucets. I actually forgot what the terminology is, but bathroom fixtures. Mm. Yes. So a bathtub that fills itself. Oh. These are all Albuquerque enabled, and that's going to get, we'll censor that. they're all enabled with Albuquerque, which is pretty cool. You can just use your smart speaker downstairs, have the water running upstairs, or maybe if you've got the Garmin thing in your car, you could set up your bath to be nice and luxurious for you when you get home. There's also things like connected toilet seat covers. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
So this year's CES was just kind of the advent of that. Like, I'm very curious to see what other companies are going to venture into it.
Yeah, smart bathtubs.
I'm all for it because, listen, life is hard.
Yeah, exactly. I think of
a bathtub, little luxuries.
Yeah, and a bathtub, I think that, you know, we can put a man on the moon. We can figure out how to stop filling a bathtub when it's full.
I agree.
Without that little hole in it.
I agree.
We have to have more better technology than the little hole that sends just a little bit of water down there.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's some water sensors or something out there that would do this for you. Like, I wonder if Stacey on IoT, which she had installed, I wonder if that or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here is another one from Mike from Waukesha, Wisconsin. He writes, so just how safe is it to let my smart home go about its business when we are not at home? Case in point, we got an EcoVac 901 and it ran fine on Monday. Today it appears to be up to some shenanigans per the map in the app, unless my house spontaneously grew some extra rooms and at odd angles. Since I left this morning, the app does not have a remote on and off. I'm a little bit worried about what I may find when I get home.
I have reviewed a ton of these robot vacuums for Tom's Guide, and, you know, you think even if you buy, like, the best one that costs the most money, that it's gonna suck everything up the best and that it's not gonna get stuck in anything. Wrong! Wrong, wrong, wrong. It's gonna find a way to get stuck. There's gonna be an errant rubber band on the floor, maybe that fell out of your grocery bag, or maybe you've got a cord on the floor it's gonna eat up. Things happen, which is why, and I know this is super inconvenient, but I like to schedule the vacuum only to run when I know I'm going to be at home. So that way I can watch it if it's in need. I did try once to turn the vacuum on while I was thousands of miles away from home because I just wanted a clean house. I wanted the litter off the floor when I got home because my cat's a kicker. But it ended up getting stuck underneath the couch. So that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand, the Neato vacuum that we love so much, why we can't remotely turn it off. We get notifications that say I'm stuck.
It's just that one. The BotVac connected will let you turn it off remotely, and there's a couple of other models that let you do that, but for whatever reason, that one doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's surprising to me what devices will work remotely and what won't.
You can pause it and then just leave it there to die.
Right. Well, that was what we were saying about the HomePod, which is weird. Josh, who is RTD, he likes to play music for his birds while he's at work and they're home alone, and he plays them with the Amazon Echo because he can control what the music is and how loud it is, right? But then...
Gotta be careful what you are teaching the birds.
Yeah, so, but then Josh, you can't use a HomePod because you can only turn it off and on, right?
Actually, correction, I actually play NPR for them during the day.
Wow, you are really edifying those birds.
I'm worried about what they're listening to.
Listen, Corvids are very smart. I know you don't have Corvids, but...
So what you're saying is that I could go to the Amazon Echo app on your phone and play Fergalicious for them.
Yes, I could do that right now.
Okay. And then you're going to go home and watch those birds booty bumping. It's going to be great.
Birds booty bumping.
Isn't that
cute?
Well, so it's weird what you can control and what you can't remotely.
It is, and everything is proprietary in its own right. But if you are afraid of something going awry, just maybe wait until you're home to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I will say the robot vacuum, even though I do have to watch it when I'm at home, it really has helped my cleaning life.
It has mine too.
Yes.
And I usually set it to, right when my kids go to school, I set it to go off because it's very loud. And so,
it is.
Like, there's a lot of chaos at, you know, 7:30 in the morning when everyone's trying to get out the door. And so
you don't want something rolling around on the floor when you're trying to make a bagel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's good for getting dust off the floor.
Yes.
Not good for super serious
and
cleaning.
And cat or dog hair, I think it's great for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's the time in the show for...
Show and tell.
Yeah.
What?
All right. I'm super excited about our WTF IoT for this week. I'm so excited that I have to apply this pin.
Oh, I see why you were posting about those ears the other day.
Hold, please. Alex lent me his pin so that I can properly...
You got to get into the Starfleet.
Yeah. I am Starfleet, and I'm wearing a skirt because, as we know, all the Star Trek ladies wear skirts and not pants. This is the Star Trek Mood Rock. Is that a good place to see it?
It is not a Himalayan salt lab.
No,
to my chagrin,
it is not. It is from. Let's see. I don't know. It's from the original series. Right here, it is highly detailed and realistic, as you can see. It's from a certain episode. I forgot which one, but it faithfully reproduces Helmsman Sulu's thrilling Alpha 177 planetary experience. So, it has batteries inside it, or you can plug it in with this USB cord. And it has a realistic phaser right here. And I can set phasers to stun and turn it on. And I don't know if you can see that it's turning red.
Oh,
can you
there
see
we go.
That?
Yeah, it's it. It looks
perfect.
Like a volcanic, pulsating. It's going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got Keep hitting it. There we go. There we go.
Beautiful.
That is
and
interesting.
I can go up and down and adjust it.
I'm kind of feeling that.
Yeah.
Other way.
Straight. There we go. There. Perfect. And I can also change colors on it, too. That's a little bit yellow. And I call it a WTF IoT, but it really doesn't connect to the internet at all. It runs on batteries.
You could connect it to the internet if you connected it to one of those Wemo smart plugs.
That's true. You totally could because it does have this plug here.
And then you could schedule the routine.
Yes. Ah, yes. Or you could just use the phaser, which is really fun to use as well.
It's also fun. It's a neat party trick, as they say.
Yes. This came from ThinkGeek. ThinkGeek exclusive. And it's $69.99, purchase limited to two per customer. So I know you want to blanket your house with the Star Trek original series Mood Rock Mood Light. But if the Rock Mood Light isn't your thing, I highly recommend these Bluetooth headphones that fit in your ears and make Spock ears. Pretty nice.
And if you're not into Star Trek and you just need something to set the mood, a Himalayan salt lamp is $20 on Amazon, and you can also connect that to a Wemo smart light and have it turn on, just like I do at home.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh, my ears are falling off.
Well, that's what happens to poor old Vulcan.
I have pointed ears anyway, so I'm always looking for headphones that will fit in my ears.
That will accentuate...
And these, I'm not going to vouch for, the sound is great for podcasts, but, I mean, if you're a total audiophile, I don't know if it's worth it, but I just like the way they look, I think.
I wish you had some dangly earrings on so we could go full Vulcan femme right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And weirdly, The Rock also comes with this emergency blanket in case you're caught in an emergency.
Well, you know, earthquakes happen.
Yes. I think that's it.
As they would say, that's a wrap.
Next week, we're going to hopefully talk about security.
Oh, we are talking about security next week.
Yeah, so like security cameras.
Home security, do-it-yourself home security, mm-hmm. and security cameras. Get ready. because I'm bringing them all to the studio.
Oh, we'll get ready. And so I feel like we need to cheers at the end of an episode. So do you want to cheers with my HomePod, or should we cheers with
promiscuous?
Also very sensitive. Let's cheers with our smart displays.
All right. See you next week on Know How.